You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
All right.
We are on.
I'm Wes McDowell in Los Angeles, and we are all in Los Angeles.
That's right. I know.
We're all together.
I know. That is great. I'm sure everyone can probably see us there. This is crazy. We're getting video and audio at the same time. But our first time, all three of us together.
Yes. Which is
doing
crazy.
Doing a recording.
We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the first time we've ever all been in a room together.
Nice,
so
for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
This is great.
Feels
so
good.
We're going to talk a little bit about Adobe Max.
Yep.
We're going to introduce our guest. Get into some freelance talk. Should be fun.
Max and in freelancing today.
So we've done three. This is our third day. What do you guys think so far?
Well, I wish this was on our first day. We'd have more fire.
I know. Oh, my God. It's crazy, right? Unbelievable.
It's been 3 days, but three wonderful days.
Yeah.
And the bash last night was amazing, of course. And that's always my highlight.
Yeah.
It's my second year doing this, our second year. And
yeah,
it's
great.
The best part.
And I've been seeing it from a different perspective from my students because they're all here for the first time and digging it and just like looking like
yeah,
it's
been really fun meeting your students.
Isn't that, it's pretty amazing.
That's a great clan.
And just seeing that, thanks. Then seeing them kind of like really experience this thing and like, can you imagine going to your first trade show? Right in school.
Right.
And something that you love in your industry. It's awesome. So.
It took me like 10 years in the design world to get to like, to get here, to get to this kind of thing.
Hey, that's okay.
And your students
better
are like,
than never.
But they're saving seats for us. And,
I know.
It's great.
They're helping Amy out right
yes.
now at her booth.
They're very helpful.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
Well, let's get into it. We want to welcome Amy Hood. Yay.
Thank you.
So happy to have you here.
We had you on years ago. I interviewed you guys about kind of like your process and stuff. I think connecting things, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah. So give everybody a brief little bio on you, your company, you and your sister, and what you're doing.
Okay, the Twitter bio. So
yeah.
Briefly, I have a twin sister, Jennifer Hood, and we run Hoodspa Design Co., and we also have a goods line called...
Do you feel like you can never introduce yourself solo?
I'll be on dates, and I'll be like, yeah, we did this, and then we did that, and they're like, who is we?
Who's we? Yeah.
Like, who are you?
Is there something I should know?
Yeah. I know, but so, yeah, it's just like innately we always.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. Sure. And so, she does the same.
She does the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Actually, she forgets about me more than I forget about her. Yeah, absolutely.
Who can forget you, Amy?
Absolutely.
Sorry
she
about
does
that.
All the time. No, Jen, if you're listening, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
she's trying to boost me out.
Yeah.
It's like how those twins, sometimes one eats the other in the womb.
Yeah.
She actually tried to do that, you guys. I was half her size when we were born.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
But I was only 1.5 pounds and she was 3.
It's like that Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito situation.
Yeah.
I'm not
yes!
saying which one you are.
Oh, I'm Danny. My feet are dangling right now.
Well,
if anybody can see this,
someone,
I don't know what the camera angle is getting.
That.
Didn't someone do a tweet the other day that was like, who's the evil and who's the good sister?
Oh, yeah.
Sister?
We did. Shout out to Nick Sloggett, who
That's
ran a Twitter poll for us to see who was the good and the bad twin.
That was awesome.
I don't know why I was surprised. My handle is Amy Hoodlum. Like, I'm asking for it.
You're asking for it, for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about what you guys do at Hoodspa.
So we are a boutique branding agency. That means we choose to be small.
There you go.
Right.
We do logos, a lot of custom letter type, things like that. We started getting into fonts, and we have a goods line called Odds and Sods, where we sell posters, t-shirts, prints, that kind of thing. Just something, it's for us. We get the final say. It's kind of nice to have.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's great. What about like your journey? How did you guys get there? Because most of our listeners are like, you know, freelance starters or freelance if well into it a few years, but you guys have a really kind of unique story about how you guys got in there.
And now thriving.
I know.
You're
Thank
so
you.
Successful. It's very awesome
Thank
to follow you.
You guys. We still don't feel it. So we're just like, I feel like when you start out in that kind of scrappy bootstrap mode, you're always kind of still in that mode.
Sure.
Even when you can like relax a little bit, you're always kind of like, no, we don't have any money. And then you're like, oh, wait, we're good.
We're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why are we so worried? You know?
I can make it for another month.
Yeah. Or you're just like, we have to take every job. We can't say no. I think when we finally realized we could start saying no, that was like the best feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, we don't have to take every
it's
job.
It's so awkward though, isn't it?
It's less awkward. It feels, just do it more and more, girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I need to get the rhythm of it. Yeah.
The power of no.
Lean into the no.
It's a powerful word.
Lean into the no.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
But when you guys started, you were looking for jobs.
Oh yeah, we
right?
were unhirable.
And
yeah.
you changed it. How did you change the story?
Well, I think it's that. I think it's just how we were raised. Everybody in my family was entrepreneurial, so I think I always just kind of figured, like, if you want to do something, you just do it, you know? And I think that's like a really – I'm always really thankful that we were raised that way.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a Kentucky mentality kind of, like, oh, you want to do that? Yeah, okay, go get your feet – or go get your hands dirty. Like, I'm not going to do it for you, you know? So, we got laid off from this, like, crappy – Coupon Clipper magazine we were working at, and it was a knockoff of the Coupon Clipper.
Both of you were working there.
We were both working there.
That's crazy.
We maxed out at, this is how, like, horrible. They taught us everything, by the way. Jason Staggs was our art director. He taught me how to use all the programs. But we maxed out at, like, Jen was an art director for $15 an hour of three magazines.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was making $14 an hour as, like, a junior.
And what year was this?
This was, like, oh, man, 2008 or 9. Okay. No, up to 2011, because we started in 2011.
Okay.
Wow. And then the magazine folded for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
and we were just unhireable. We had no portfolio work. That's why I'm always so encouraging to my students to, like, do what you're passionate about and do stuff on the side. Even if you get a job, you got to do your own thing so you have something you're proud of.
We've been hearing that a lot. A few guest speakers here were all talking about that, like, encouraging the stuff that you do on side. Don't do it for the profit and don't do it for the fame, but do it to build your portfolio a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah. Do the things you're trying
to do. Win-win that way.
Yeah. Because there's some for the eat and then there's some for, like, what do they say? Some for the real and some for the whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, basically you're doing something for you and then also you take the jobs where you have to, you know, keep your lights on.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah.
Nice. So taking that into, you guys become this boutique agency and you're starting, what was your first gigs? How were you finding your first jobs?
It was all our friends.
That's, like, our number one question.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure everyone says, like, it was all people they knew, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you have to have those connections. You have to be rooted into some sort of community. Like, it could be online. It could be in person. But, like, having people in your corner and just verbally, the main thing that we did was just verbally saying, like, we're doing our thing and we're for hire.
You made it happen that way.
Yeah, I have so many friends who I'm like, wait, what? You do freelance? Like, you literally never talk about it. I would have sent you so much work if I had known that.
Wow.
Well, and did one of you two have more of that voice than the other while the other worked behind the scenes?
Good question,
Well, yeah, like, at the time, Jen was able to find a part-time job once we both got laid off. And so then it was up to me to just get the website up and get everything for Hoods running.
See, that's an advantage, the tag team component to all this.
It is. I always feel,
jumpstart.
How do people do it without a twin sister? Like, for real. God.
Right.
You have an instant, like, W.
Yeah, I'm like, I need a triplet. How are you doing it without a single, you know? Like,
and how is it working with someone who you're so close to? Do you ever just kind of, like, have it up to here with each other?
Oh,
or
all the time, yeah. It's like, it's love-hate.
How do you leave that?
I think I actually prefer working with someone that you can trust like that. I think it would be harder if it was somebody that you're married to, but because it's a sister, where at the end of the day, we're blood.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
we've grown up together, we know we're for each other.
Yeah.
I think that's nice. So then you just kind of realize, like, it's just, like, difference of opinions.
Right.
You know, and I think another big thing for us when you're working with somebody I think is really important is, like, having ownership of specific projects. So at the end of the day, Jen gets final say on this project.
Right.
At the end of the day, I'm in charge of this project. You know, so that there's not too much, like,
you know who owns it.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm weighing in with an opinion, but at the end of the day, I know Jen knows the client best and she handles that.
Okay.
You know?
It's favored nation. So, like, you own one project, she owns another project, but there's never any kind of certain tasks that maybe you get.
Sometimes.
What do you bring that she doesn't and vice versa?
Oh, like, man, it's pretty funny because we're pretty similar and I'm always like, we're so different. Oh, wait, no, we're just the same person. We're pretty much the same
with
person.
With just those little tweaks.
Yeah, like, personality-wise, we're different. But we do, like, we both love logo design. We both love, you know, almost everything the same. But Jen's definitely more analytical and she is so good with words and, like, copy. Mm-hmm. So she does all that kind of stuff. And I will not ideate without her. Her sketches and, like, just her, her, like,
that's
ideation
great.
Phase is amazing. So, like, even if you're freelance on your own, finding a friend that you can, like, just be on a text thread with and just be like, hey, what do you think about these ideas? This is my client. You know, I
it's
feel
so
like
it's
important.
Too, right?
Because
you're like, I remember when I first met you guys, I think you were, like, literally finishing each other's sentences. And then you said at the end, and we finished each other's sentences. And I was like, yeah, that was, like, the most seamless.
It's so creepy. And we fought it for a long time. Yeah. And now we're just like, people
embrace
love it.
It.
Whatever.
Embrace it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just got to, you got to embrace whatever people
be
are coming
who you
to
you are.
For. Yeah.
That's good.
All right, just had to break into this episode to let you guys all know that this episode is sponsored in part by Skillshare. Skillshare, if you don't know yet, if you haven't heard me talk about it, it's an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in everything from design, photography, marketing, technology, freelancing, and you name it, they have it. You can take classes in learning something small, like what's brand new in Photoshop this year, or you can learn something big, like how do you design a logo? So basically, every little thing that I
need to teach myself, I go to Skillshare to do just that. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, start a side hustle, or just explore a new passion, Skillshare is here for you to keep you learning and thriving. And I just found a few really cool classes on Skillshare that would be a very nice addition to our discussion today with Amy Hood. One is called How to Price Projects as a Freelancer. And another one is called Going Freelance, Building and Branding Your Own Success. So they have all those kind of classes, plus all the design specific courses that you would expect. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. You can get 2 months of Skillshare for just 99 cents. That's right, guys. Skillshare is offering our listeners 2 months of unlimited access to those over 20,000 classes for under $1. So to sign up, go to Skillshare.com/graphic. Again, go to Skillshare.com/graphic to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/graphic. Now back to the good stuff.
So do you get a sense that one of you has a better maybe business hat and the other more of a design hat, or are you equal footing with that?
I think we both have, like, it's nice because sometimes I'm always the one that's like wanting to like go out and try new things. Like, I'm like, I'm gonna make a font. I've never done that before, but I'm gonna do that, you know?
Yeah.
And then Jen's more the one who's, she's like, we don't need to spend money on this, and she's kind of more practical.
Okay.
So I think it's nice having
perfect fit.
Yeah, it's nice having the kind of push and pull of like, well, now it's a good time to be ambitious, or now it's like totally. We need to like, you know, rein
awesome.
It in.
That's awesome.
Nice.
I think you want to get into the book a little bit and
the book.
Yeah. I think our first question, Wes and I were talking earlier, we're like, what inspired you to like just say, let's get down and do one all about freelance?
I'm sure it's why you guys started a podcast.
Pretty
much. Is
that
like you're looking for someone to compare notes with? Like, are we doing this right? And I think it was also just realizing what a lack of business education there was out there for creatives.
Mm-hmm.
I would talk to my friends who had went to school, 4-year degree, $100,000 in debt. Mm-hmm. They didn't teach them one business course.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about running a business, doing freelance, asking for a raise, getting a job, like nothing.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what a worthless degree.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, seriously.
And a question for you, when you guys taught it, I know you guys taught a class too. I bring it up to my students and I get like it's like the most boring talk. But then 2 years after graduation, they're like, why didn't you guys talk about business?
That makes me so mad. They're like, why didn't you teach us this? I'm like, that's literally all we have. We teach only professional practices. Is that what your class is called too?
No, it's the transition class from their last class they take before they graduate. So it builds their portfolio, interview skills and everything. But it's a hard subject to teach because it's just not fun.
Yeah, it's hard to make fun.
Until you're in the trenches.
More dry. Right.
Then you gotta go, when you need to know how to build a contract. Not when you want to know.
I know. That's so true. It is a bit dry.
So the name of the book.
Freelance and Business and Stuff.
There you go.
It's very professional.
So you guys.
But it's basically just a guide for creatives on all the things that we kind of learn the hard way. Like you learn through trial and error because someone really tells you.
Yes.
Right.
And then we just kind of, we wrote it. We actually wrote it because we got asked to do a speech at Creative South, our first ever invitation to do a talk. We were like, we don't know.
Right.
And he goes, just talk about how you started your company, Mike Jones said. And I was like, okay. And then we wrote all these notes. It was 60 pages of notes. We're like, this is a book. And so
that's what got it.
Yeah, we never would have. It's funny how like you just say yes to one
very
thing
cool.
and it can lead to like the most amazing thing.
Yes, that evolution is awesome.
It is. It's like saying yes. I'm a big pro. That's one of my three. It's one of my three tips.
There you go. All right. Well, start like small and then you did and then like maybe grow to the full,
so,
full book.
Well, we wrote the book in like 2014 and by then we had only been in business for 4 years, but we knew a lot, but we still didn't know everything. So we recently went back and we were looking at, we're like, oh my gosh, we know so much more. We took the book down. We rewrote everything based on the curriculum we created for our class at Laguna College of Art and Design.
Right.
And we just completely filled it out with everything that we could possibly think of.
Wow.
And then we tried to keep it really short. It's only 160 pages. And because I remember somebody gave me a professional practices book and it was like 1,000 pages.
It's
I was
intimidating.
Like, who's going to read that?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to find just the key quick things?
And you picked the perfect like size in the handbook, it feels like, but yet it's a...
That's what we were thinking, just like a guidebook.
Got the substance in it, which is really, really great.
I actually wish we could have put like a glossary in there, like a little, you know, that would
be sure.
Like, what's better than Cliff's Notes?
You've
already like harnessed it into
that's
a Cliff's
true.
Notes
that's
version.
True.
It doesn't need one.
Cliff's Notes doesn't need it. Thank you. Yes, that.
That's awesome.
But yes, we rewrote it and re-released it, and it's been such a cool response. We were like, maybe we'll sell like 200 hard copies and we'll mostly do e-books.
Mm-hmm.
We sold out in a day. and we had only gotten like 350 copies,
wow,
which
congratulations.
Yeah. And I mean, it was awesome. So then we reordered more and more, and now we're just like, wow, designers love hard copies is what we learned.
So this is tapping into that. What's that episode that we ran with that guest where it's you don't have to have your hands on it all the time? And it's making income.
Oh, passive income stuff.
Passive income.
Yeah. That's what we always tell our students.
And you're killing it with the odds and sods as well. And so, like, that's it. It's so interesting that with these three branches, you know?
Yeah.
And the book part was when we were thinking about when we kind of reached out to you and you were coming on board with this, the freelance book was just this perfect thing that I think our listeners will connect to because they're just dying for that information.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. And it's funny because that was another thing was we would ask people, but people used to be really protective of like that kind of information. Like, what do you charge? Like, how do I quote this? And I feel like our new generation, though,
totally
so transparent. I remember we met Mark Hemian and David Keegan and a couple other people that invited us to a Twitter meetup.
Yeah.
And it was just, Twitter has been, if you can learn anything from me, Twitter, get on Twitter. Like, there's so many amazing design heroes that there's no barrier of entry.
No.
They are just chatting, sharing really helpful information.
Yeah.
And I remember they were just like, they were straight up with me there. I was like, oh, I'm charging this for logo. They're like, don't do that. Why are you doing that?
I'm glad you shout out Mark Hemian.
Yeah.
He brought 12 of my students to his studio when he was with Design Inc.
Yeah.
And it was a game changer. I had students that barely talked in class, and when we got out of it, he was like, wow, that guy made me think about this and that and everything. And it was so unique because he was transparent. He was honest.
He's all about it. And that whole group, Josh Hemsley, like so many of those people were just so generous with their information. And so I just try to give it all back because I wouldn't be anywhere without people like you guys, like doing these podcasts, sharing that information. It's huge.
Getting the message out there to everybody for sure.
Yeah.
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 All right. Should we get into the big three?
Ooh, big three.
Yes. Let's do it.
All right. What did we ask? It was the big three mistakes that young freelancers get into when they're starting. You probably got to see and hear a lot from people. What did you discover?
Since we've been doing more like talks and workshops, the most fun part is like the Q&A at the end. Like you guys were asking for questions out there. That's the most fun because you're like,
It is. Yeah. It's so interactive.
It is.
It's engaging.
And you're kind of getting a pulse on like what people actually want to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I would say number one is just say yes. I feel like so many of my students or just young designers are like, I don't really want that job. I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to do that. And it's like, just get any job for now and just start getting that stupid 3 years experience that you have to get the job you actually want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just get the job and start making money. And I feel like if you start saying yes to things, even if it doesn't fit your perfect idea of what you think you want, it's really surprising what can come of that and what new like roads can open.
Yeah.
You just never know what you're going to actually like doing.
That risk taking can lead into something pretty awesome.
Because you think you know what you want, but you're only 20 or maybe you're even 30.
Right.
But I mean, I thought I wanted to be a magazine designer my whole life. And if I had done that, I would have been miserable.
And that's a good point because it's like, they want a specific title, not a specific, let's say, role or something down the road. It's like being a magazine designer or I wanted movie posters.
That was my thing.
Right?
Yeah.
It's always like you go for the most glamorous kind of version. And now it's like there's too many rules in general as well. So, but those entry level jobs that no one wants, they're not glamorous. They're production heavy.
Yeah.
You learn so much
of
the fundamentals that way.
Absolutely. You know? And just like the business side, because it's a small, if you work at a small place instead of like a Wyden and Kennedy, like you're going to learn the ins and outs and you're going to talk to everybody in every department. You're going to know like what's going on. You're going to have your hands on a lot more higher level things.
Yeah.
Instead of just like, you know, getting coffee or making production edits.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it might not be your choice or just, it's not your choice to say, I'm going to be a magazine designer the minute you graduate.
Right.
But what you can do is say yes to something that comes your way, like you're saying,
and then
just
keep
take it,
keep working on the side. Like if you want to be a magazine designer, you have to have that in your portfolio. So start making your own little magazine and layouts. Like start.
Still counts as a foundation. You can keep building on it.
Absolutely.
What else?
Okay, number two. I wrote notes. Number two would be Let's see. Are we? How live are we?
So first is say no until it's time to say yes until it's time to say no later.
Oh yeah, that's totally it. We were a funnel. Like when we first started our business, we just said yes to everything, and then eventually say no. But okay, so my number two, I have my notes here. Okay, so I feel like it's so important to have side projects. And I know we already kind of touched on this, but like doing something that you're passionate about, it comes through. So like, even if it's just like, I always use this example, but I love the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I started just making funny little animated GIFs or little posts or little illustrations, because eventually I want to do a project with the Lakers.
Yeah.
So it'd be great if in my portfolio, the minute they go to my site, if I reach out to them, they can see this girl really loves us. This isn't just a paycheck for her. Like, she knows the players, she knows it. She sees the passion, or they see the passion. And I feel like when I was hiring people for Chutzpah, we ended up hiring a guy, Arturo Jimenez. He's here right now, if you can hear me. Awesome. Shout out. He's amazing. We wouldn't be anywhere without him. And I remember he had his own rap SoundCloud, and he also, or hip hop, and he also was illustrating his own comic series.
Okay, yeah.
And I was just like, well-rounded, I can see
everything,
that,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. And he could do the production work. So I was just like,
Yeah,
and I like to see that. And I think a lot of people do.
I bet even 15 years ago, that would have been like a complete negative. Right? Like, you're doing too much. Like, whoa, like, can you work here?
Yeah.
But now it's, like, better that you're...
It is funny how things change, isn't it?
That's so
weird. Because in school, they used to say, like, oh, no, you have to be well-rounded. Don't get too into a niche. Like, you know, like, these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I understand that a little bit. But it's also, like, if you're really good at something and you have, like, you already know your style at age 21.
Yeah.
Like, embrace it. Well, lean in.
Look at Sam Lopez.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so rare to know your style that well that young. And I kind of... I'm just like, hey, you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm going to sit down and learn from you.
Yeah. Like, it took me a while to figure out what I was
doing. Yeah, I didn't know that early.
That's killer. I didn't either. Yeah.
And you know, maybe at 30 he'll say that that wasn't what he... Now he's learned and then he from that foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty cool. We all do. That's part of the growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number three.
Number three is... Get to my notes here. Oh my gosh. Okay, I think a big thing for me, I grew up thinking, like, you have to go to college, you have to go, I want to go to, like, Ivy League or, like, Syracuse or somewhere cool and, like, UCLA, you know, and get the degree and, like...
Provability.
Yep. And I think back in the day, it felt like, though, my parents had a lot of pressure on that. My grandma keeps asking me, are you girls still in school?
Yeah.
Like, yep, grandma, now we're teaching. We just made the hop from learning to teaching. And I know, we didn't have a graduation. It's so weird.
you missed it. Oh, I'm sorry we didn't see you there.
Yeah, but yeah.
You could send the check.
Any graduation presents, just send those my way. But no, and I just thought that was, like, the idea of success. And so when I like ended up like realizing, like, oh, I don't want to be in debt and I can't afford to go to a 4-year, because I had moved here from Kentucky and I didn't have state what do you call it, residency.
Yeah,
right.
So I was like, oh man. So I went to community college, and then fast forward to 5 years later, because community college is kind of a bit of a black hole sometimes.
Yeah.
You just kind of get stuck there, and then you're like, where am I even? What am I even? And I remember one of my customers at my coffee shop that was my regular. I'd known him for 4 years. He just said, what are you trying to do? Like, you're so talented at art. Like, what are you trying to do? He's like, I need 2 design interns. Like, are you interested? I'll teach you everything and I'll pay you.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes. And he goes, do you know anyone? And I go, yeah, I have a twin sister. And she's also really good at art. And that's like all it took to get me into design instead of art. And to like, it was a completely different pathway of like, and I call it an apprenticeship. But even like for years, people would look down and be like, oh no, you have to have a degree. Like, we won't hire you. You don't have a degree.
Yeah.
But I think you have to kind of sometimes realize that the standard path may not be for you for whatever reason, money, location, whatever.
Yeah.
And just figuring out a different way. And now there's so many amazing online resources for alternate education.
Crazy.
Yes.
Skillshare, lynda.com.
Yes.
You can do like the General Assembly crash courses, you know, like learn to code, Treehouse. Absolutely. And you can save yourself so much money.
This doesn't mean drop out if you're at a community college.
Yeah, I know.
No. And you're doing well there.
Exactly. And that's
everybody's got their own.
For a while, I was like college bashing. And then I realized I shouldn't college bash. Everyone has their own thing. If you can afford to go to school, amazing.
Do it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, if you can afford, and also what I always say is some people are more proactive. Well, they'll learn stuff on their own.
That's
like
so
a
true.
Skillshare. And some people
need
to go to
they
class.
They need that the heavy discipline. Hand. They do.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. They need to be told where to go and what to do.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess we were lucky enough that we just kind of like had that kind of like, I don't know.
Ambition. Self-ambition.
Thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, yeah. So just embrace your own path. It may not be the same as what your friends are doing. You may feel like a little bit of a loser when all your friends are going to school.
Yeah.
And maybe you just can't afford it. But embrace your path and just look for the opportunities and just say yes as much as possible and just keep making goals, like writing down goals. That was a huge thing for us when we started writing down, we want to make this much this year. We want to get these kind of clients and we want to get these kind of jobs. Then you're like actively thinking when jobs come in, okay, is this another illustration job? We don't want to do that anymore. We want to do logos.
Yeah.
And you're you're making a pathway for yourself. Yeah. You're not just letting your career happen to you.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Did you guys do the drunk on lettering thing with those
two girls? We did one.
Yeah, they talked at Crop.
Yeah.
And they had the best thing. They said something about the idea that they went and found it was not even a financial advisor, but it was more like a career coach.
They told me that. They loved their coach.
And they set them, they gave them goals because they were like, here's our goals. And the guy looked at him and was like, scribbled it out and he tripled it. He goes, that's your new goal.
Oh, that's so funny.
Do it by this year and then for next year. And it wasn't just so much financial. It was more like number of clients or type of clients or, you know, how many hours a week do you want to work? Yeah. So it's almost like having that and being very visual and decided about that makes a huge difference.
Jen and I used to do it once a year and now we do it quarterly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just nice to keep a pulse on, okay, what have we done? Look at the numbers. Revisit. Yeah. And it's
you get so caught up in whatever you're doing, you lose sight of what the initial goals looked like.
So
what kind of advice would you give to a new freelancer in terms of pricing? And I know that's a big question, but where do you come down on that? Where do you think is a good place to kind of get to that number that's right for you?
It's so hard because also sometimes people will be like, oh, you're transparent about numbers. What do you charge? I'm like, oh, it's so different though.
Yeah.
Because it's not only can you do the job? It's also how many people are beating down your door to do the job. Jen and I turn away 85% of our work now. We get so many inquiries.
Because it's demand. It's based on
now
your demand.
Now it's demand now. Yes. Yeah. So
is it up to 85%?
I refer my friends, of course. I have a huge list of referrals that I send to people that I've worked with before or that I know do amazing work. Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely forwarding it on because people gave me opportunities and that's the only reason I'm here.
Yeah.
But, I think I think first of all, it's just start out with whatever people say yes to. Because when I didn't have a degree and when I didn't have a portfolio, I was just I'll do it in trade for product. Mm-hmm. I just need to get a portfolio that's worth something.
Yeah.
And so we were doing logos for trade at first. And then we started doing logos for $300, unlimited rounds of revisions.
Oh, I remember that.
Then we talked to Mark Hemian and a couple of people and they were what are you doing? No, don't do that. That's grossly underbidding everybody else.
Yes.
And so then we stopped doing that. And then we kind of you start working up and you just kind of are constantly testing the levels. If you're too busy, start testing a higher number.
Yes.
And then
if you're not desperate for the work.
Yeah. Totally. Because then if they say no, it's not a big deal.
I respect this client or this organization is well established and we just supported them with a brand identity project. So it measures what you can do for that next upcoming client, potential client that you're running an estimate for. That you see are kind of compare and shifted up 5% or whatever.
Yeah, totally. And I think also another thing is, I know it sounds so lame, but time tracking. We time tracked crazy our first 3 years because then you realize how grossly you underbid it. You're oh my gosh, when I do the hours,
billable.
I only made $17 an hour because I spent way too much time on this project or it just took longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And so then when you get the next client, you're we need to charge 30% more. And I think no matter what, whenever we quote anything, we always add a 10% buffer.
Good.
So because we always underbid. We're horrible at underbidding. We want to get the jobs. We want to help people out. Mostly we're just we don't want to quote them too high. We don't want to be rude,
And then when you get someone actually doesn't even question that higher bid on a new client, you're wow, okay, it helps you get to that next level.
Yeah.
And you feel comfortable there. And
you feel you got away with something.
I know. Yeah. I know. And you're like, maybe I should ask for more.
Yeah. And I would say the first rule of quoting is always ask what their budget is. I'm always shocked at how grossly under or over what I thought they were going to say it is. So if they say, I only want to pay you $100, you already know it's kind of a joke project and you just don't want to do it.
Been there.
Yeah. Maybe you don't even want to spend the time making the quote and maybe referred on to a student who's just looking for a portfolio builder.
Right.
But yeah, it's nice to ask for budget first.
Good.
Yeah. What do you think about, I get the idea of coming in at what you think, what people are going to say yes to, but what do you think about the idea of, I remember when I was charging less, those people almost wanted more than people that are willing to pay more.
It is
Countered that as well.
Oh yeah. And people I love working with small businesses because I'm a small business and I love working with mom and pops, but it's also, Jen and I realized how much work it is because to get someone to say yes, it's their personal money.
Yeah.
There's so much emotional connection.
That's the connection.
And it's their life savings. It's their loan. It's whatever. They're on the line and it's very personal. So for them, making a decision can be very hard and very, it's just a lot scarier and it just takes a lot more time and it takes a lot more time to get them to trust you. Whereas when you work with these corporate people or agencies, they already understand the process.
They've gone through this.
Yeah. It's a logical decision for them. Yeah. It's an emotional decision.
Yeah. It's just a PO going down to accounting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They nailed it by saying it's the personal connection of their own investment
with the smaller companies. And I understand it. And so, And I still love working with them, but I think Jen and I have realized, like, for our own emotional, like, space as well, we have to, like, balance out those kind of customers. So we still take on a lot of big production-style retainer jobs that are just mindless work. Wow. Because it's nice to turn your brain off after you've been doing, like, creative branding.
Yeah, that's a good balance. I agree.
I love
it. I appreciate that, too.
It's my favorite. Like, when I get to do, like, a boring catalog just changed, I love it. I'm like, please, give it to me.
Well, when I can't actually, like, listen to a podcast while I'm working. Exactly. When I'm doing, like, my real work, I can't listen to anything.
No, no. I watch TV.
It has to be Property Brothers on TV.
Yeah. I watch, like, The X-Files.
Little Law and Order.
Forensic Files. Heck yes. Snapped. I've seen all of them.
Yeah.
That's killer.
So do you have any advice for anyone then? Made me think. Do you have any advice for getting your average freelance client out of that emotional state? Any kind of tips to reframe things for them?
Oh, absolutely. So Jen and I started doing this thing. I'm sure a lot of people do, like, the questionnaire at the beginning of a project, and that's great. We used to do that through, like, Google Drive. You can make, like, a little questionnaire survey, which is so easy.
Yes.
But we started doing this thing called a discovery where we take everything that we've garnered from them, whether it's through a questionnaire or actually just on the phone call, and or in-person meeting, and then we put it all into a discovery deck, and basically we're honing in for them, because it's funny when you ask them, like, what do you do? Like, what's the simplest thing of what you do? Oh, I don't know. It's like, you do know.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of have to help them. Like, I'm like, okay, here's your audience. Here's your core demographic. Here's who we're trying to go after. And here's the competition and what they're all doing. So what we want to avoid. So now looking at all that, here's our main goal for this logo rebrand. And here's a mood board.
Nice.
And so then we get them to sign off on that. And then whenever it gets emotional, we come back to the discovery. And we say, remember when we all agreed that the goals were to make a simple logo that was script and that felt like it was a heritage brand?
Smart move.
Mm-hmm. Then you can say,
recap.
It meets all these goals, and look at it in comparison to the competitor landscape. And then we show them the logo with everybody else's logo.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, wow, it totally stands out.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they fall in love with it all over again.
And then hopefully, and sometimes you just have to be like, listen, you have to trust me. And then you just have to say, like, well, we're at our rounds of revision. So if you want to keep paying, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
to revisit the design.
And right. I always tell them, I'm like, the more rounds we go through, the more watered down the concept's going to get. And I tell them 90% of the time when people go further, they come back to one of the originals.
It's always the first black dress you try on.
Always. Exactly. So I always try to warn them, like, we can waste your money, but it's your hard-earned money. So let's just stop it here. The collateral
I love
is
that.
What will...
Yeah. I'm going to start doing that.
System,
that's a good tip for me.
But that system sets it up. So it has a checkpoint, and it has a way of coming back be like, let's get back on track. And hey, if you don't want this, yes, it's extra.
Yeah, you got to pay for it, and you're paying hourly.
Yeah.
And then,
and make
that
hourly.
It's interesting. Big. Once you kind of, it's a little bit of a threat in a way.
Oh, it is.
But when you put it.
It is a threat.
It's a threat. But when you put it politely, they're like, it's a little bit of hand holding too.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh, so if that's the case, let's have a look at concept B again.
When you say
really
it's more
nice, actually.
Yeah. And I always try to tell them, I'm like, listen, the logo is everything, and it's also nothing. Mm-hmm. Because the logo on its own, without these other pieces, you're just
right.
You have to keep going forward. Because these other pieces are really what's gonna frame it and make it what you're thinking in your mind.
So then at that point, do you prepare any other applications to make it a cohesive family to have them visualize?
Yeah. We always do mock-ups. Mock-ups completely change the
further.
Logo. Yeah. Yeah.
And you account for that in your estimate way ahead of time.
Yeah, so that's included in our price. We include the discovery time, and we include the price for, like, mocking it up on everything. Because when you see it flat on a piece of paper, even in color or in black and white, like, it's just not the same as seeing it mocked up. Like, if it's
absolutely
a restaurant
not.
On their wall.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the easiest way. Like, it's kind of a cheat, I think, but
it's
I stand behind it.
But it's the best.
Yeah, well, when people are making these emotional decisions with their money, like, God, but I'm paying so much money for this. I want more.
Yeah.
And then when you put it on that tote bag or on the signage,
it
comes alive in a way.
Right.
Because the logo is so intangible. Yeah. And I get why people will pay anything for a website, because at the end of it, you can see, you can use, you can, like, go through. A logo, once you're done with it, you still have to apply it to everything for it to really be living.
Yeah.
So I get why people, like, have such a hard time paying for it, and I'm always trying to explain to them how important it is, but also how not important it is, and how we need to build on it. But we don't even sell packages with standalone logos anymore.
You can't.
We'll only do a package that includes, like,
collateral.
Yeah, Because it's just letting them have it on its own, it almost never works out well for anybody. They don't know how to apply it. You know, they don't know the rules. So
I think it also keeps you glued, not, I hate to say glued, but a partner of theirs for longer.
Yeah.
Because you've shown that you're not just the one-trick pony giving them a branding piece that's here's your logo, finally locked up and good. But you're giving them the typography treatments. You're giving them the secondary logo and, like, the shield logo.
The palette.
Right, yeah. Help them with the tagline. Like, all those little things you can do to be a complete package to them, you've got them now further.
Yeah.
I think down the road, which is really good. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so what would you say within your whole book, what would you say is, like, the number one takeaway, the biggest piece of advice?
Yeah.
If you can even distill it in just one.
Like picking your favorite
kid.
Or
perhaps an area that you wish that you had expanded on a little bit further.
Oh chapter or version 2.0.
I actually reread it, like, 2 days after we sold out, because I was like, is this even any good? And I had already read it to proof it twice, and I reread it all again. I was like, oh, this is good. This is so good. And, but the one takeaway is on the very last page, and everyone can flip to it, but it's just start.
Yeah.
Like, people get so in their own head, and they're like, oh, I'll save a little more, or I'll start next year, or whatever. Just start. Start on the side. You don't have to quit your day job, but just start doing anything. Whether if you're looking to get a job in movie posters, start making movie posters just for fun about stuff, movies that you love.
Oh, I did, and they were terrible.
I look back. Maybe it took that to know you hate movie posters. Yeah. You know?
But you wouldn't, had you not had that in your background, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
Oh, yeah. No, and I think it's fun. Like, I wouldn't want to do that now for other reasons.
Right,
I'm
sure.
Stuff,
sure.
But, yeah.
Funny, the stuff that you used to love, you're like, oh, that doesn't pay anything. I hate that stuff.
Isn't that funny?
You can't pay me to do a CD cover these days. There's no amount of money that could. We don't even have CDs anymore.
And then talking about being super emotionally attached to it, if the artist is really like, you know, I want it to represent this song, and that, I'm like, I'm going to move on to my branding job.
Oh my God. No kidding. I was like, no thanks. Goodbye.
That's killer. All right. Other than the book, really good, quick resources, tips, things that are maybe like online, you name it, just tools of the trade that are going to help us as designers and independents really kind of land and get the projects running.
Ooh, okay, well, mainly I would say get on Twitter, follow all your design heroes. It's amazing how much information they're sharing about their day-to-day, what products they're using, what brushes they're using, like literally everything you want to know about them, they're talking about.
I love that you're bringing up Twitter, because I think a lot of people see the Instagram source, the way that the way that you are shining Twitter right now.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
It's your news feed.
Twitter is better than Instagram because, and I love Instagram, the barrier of entry to Twitter is so much lower. If you go on Eric Marinovich, for example's page on Instagram, he'll have like maybe 3,000 likes on a photo and maybe like 60 comments, and they're all just fire emojis.
Yeah.
But if you go on Twitter, he has maybe only 30 likes and then maybe 2 comments.
And they're
The interaction is so much lower.
The quality.
To actually write him back on there, quality. He's going to see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I've actually talked to like people that I really admire, and I follow them, and they write back, and it's shocking. These people are writing me back.
Yeah.
And same for me. When I go on Twitter, it's much easier to write people back. On Instagram, you can't even see the comments anymore. There's so many likes. You're trying to even find who's even written to you. You know, and that's just me. I don't even have that many followers. So I think definitely get on Twitter. Definitely.
And also, too, it's the linkability. Like, you in that post, you can put the link to the particular article or, you know, what you're trying to highlight or tell the world. Whereas Instagram, you only get that one link, and it's not meant to be that way.
Right.
So I almost think Twitter's like your morning feed. You can literally follow the right people, and then follow the people that the people you're following are following.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. It's it's great. And of course, it gets kind of negative sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think you just kind of have to, like, take it and leave it and not stay on it too long.
Yeah.
Because, woo! And just remember that, like, you have to live in your everyday and, like, you know, like, that, you know, I don't know.
The social media thing can really kind of take a big chunk out of your month.
Oh, my gosh,
altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I try not to
I try to watch it, and it's not easy.
It's not.
A
it's addictive. Like,
it's addictive.
Automatically, when I open my phone, I open Instagram.
I know.
It's automatic.
Yeah. I know.
I don't even want to.
I think that's the same for me.
You
it's kind of taking
and you
over.
Automatically open again.
I know.
Have you ever done that?
Like, did I miss a new post? Like, it's like.
But good awareness, though, all the same.
Yeah.
And there is a way to, like, are you or your sister more in charge, or do you rotate with the social media promotional stuff?
We split it up to where I do ads and sods and she does Chutzpah. And we use an app called Later. And it's amazing because you can plan it all out like a week in advance and then just have it posting.
The tweets? Is it like a Hootsuite kind
it's
of thing?
It's kind of like that. Yeah. So you can post to Pinterest, Twitter, and you can customize for each one because you know how sometimes like
dimensions
certain things are better for Twitter and certain things are better for, and dimensions. Yeah,
right.
Wow.
And it's amazing because then you don't have to think about it, but like the first of the week and then you just let it roll. You obviously respond because that's the important part.
Because if there's time that goes by, it stresses me out. Like, I haven't posted anything forever. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Right. It's okay. Relax. You're really busy. Everybody will understand. I have this conversation in my mind way too much.
Oh,
it's
I know.
Stupid.
And it's kind of like, I think also we're too precious with our content. Like, I've realized that the feeds that I love are the ones that are like...
Yeah.
Just like random shots where it's like, it's not even a good photo, but I'm like, this is legitimately
you. Who spent
a
good half hour to an hour on just a stupid post?
Oh my gosh. Oh.
It's so ridiculous.
Luckily now, like when I do anything, I'm already in my mind thinking, how am I going to save this for Instagram?
Yeah.
That's what a monster I am.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, you're not alone there. I'm glad that you're mentioning that. And I can relate.
You learn from doing it I've done a lot for clients and I kind of go, why am I not doing that for my own stuff?
Oh, yeah. Does that speak to the level of the work quality that I put in and what the client wants to see when they see it later and my audience members?
I just do it
members.
All at once. I do Dribbble, Instagram all
good.
At once.
One good tip I love is the save or the flag on Instagram. So if I see something in the feed that I go, I want to look back at that later because I like maybe the way they presented the work. It wasn't just a cap. It made it look like it was maybe, you know, in a studio and the way they did it. So like, I'll just keep flagging those.
And are you good about revisiting them later?
Oh, yes.
For I need to do that more.
And for color palettes.
Interesting.
I won't say who I follow on that one. But
Oh, interesting.
No, secrets. There's some good Oh my God, you talk to anybody and they're like, oh, I've been guilty of the little eyedropper on some art. Getting the colors. Because it's like, it's just so neat to see what, like sometimes that might be not be your strong point. Or typography combinations might not be your strong point.
Yeah. It's a checklist. It kind of gets a checklist
And that's
going.
What I feel like the Instagram side is. And then like, you're right, Twitter just becomes this more informative and you make the connection with the person, I think, a lot easier because of that smaller audience.
And it's not so much just like, here's my work. It's more like just talking like humans, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, any other tools like this later or anything else that would be help with productivity or?
Yeah, I use Monday for scheduling outline projects. We used to use Trello and then before that we used Basecamp and we've used everything. And I think it's really hard to find a good one.
I'm seeing Monday promoted on subscriptions I belong to
I love
a bit.
It.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. And they have this awesome chart. I can't remember what it's called, but it's the kind that shows you a big line across your whole month so you can see, oh my gosh, I have 10 projects overlapping. What am I doing?
Whoa, okay.
Oh, okay.
So it'll show you your time frame like, oh, this will take me 2 months. This will take me 3. So then when you're booking out, it's just a lot easier.
Does it flash like danger?
You have not had a life. This is why.
Oh my gosh. That
but
would
you're
be
making
amazing.
Bank.
I know. Right? Your bank account looks great though. But and then another one is we use Trigger for time tracking and then we can make invoices directly from there. So like we use that for our retainer clients.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
And is it based on like, can you apply it to the file name?
Trigger. Yeah.
Is that how it
so
kind of works?
It itemizes it for you even. Yeah. Like it's really great. So it'll tell you like, you know, you spent 30 minutes on this one and then it'll itemize it all out and then add it all together, I think.
And
great.
It's all happening in the background.
It does that reporting.
Yeah. So you export it to Xero, which we use.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I think you can also do it to QuickBooks. But anyway, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Okay. So, and how do you handle your client consultations and stuff? Do you have them just email you or do you have an online scheduler like a Calendly or
you know,
or do you do a live chat?
Yeah, right now I'm just doing, I always try to do at least one live chat so that we can see each other's face and like really, I feel like that builds so much trust.
Get a read.
Just, yeah, like we're both humans.
Yes.
Like I'm for you, you're for me.
Yep.
We're all on the same team here. And I always try to also call and present key proofs on the phone or at least do in person.
Yeah.
I always do first round logo proofs in person or on the phone and I walk them through it. I send it to them 15 minutes before so they can't look at it too quickly.
Yeah.
And then I walk them through the why, because otherwise they just flip through and they don't even read anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not their fault. It's just like we're all that way. Mm-hmm. We're always
interesting. Well, do you ever measure that against presenting on the fly so that you get a really interesting first grounded reaction when they see it for the very first time?
Yeah. I mean, that's why we do it for sure.
Yeah.
So that we can't. So
Isn't that crucial?
Yeah. So that they can't just be like, oh, I hate that. I hate that. Because then you're walking them through the why and then they're like, oh, oh, I get it. That's interesting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they can't just straight up just hate it for maybe miscontext or whatever.
Right,
yeah. Because a lot of it's just miscommunication.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that took a lot of the miscommunication out, and it at least helped them understand that even if they didn't like this concept, we fully understand their business.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It may not be their cup of tea.
Yeah.
But it could fit if, you know.
Yeah.
It was funny. Draplin, in his talk yesterday, said this thing. He sent a logo for a band to a friend, and he's like, check it out, whatever, PDF. Guy didn't hear from him. He called him back. He goes, what'd you think? And he goes, you nailed it, man. I love it. And whatever. Like, that's the coolest logo I've ever seen. He's like, what do you mean one logo? And he laughed because it was a 17-page PDF.
Exactly.
And the guy did not know to swipe through and see the other options.
Oh,
and
no.
So but the cool thing was it sounded like he got the guy's reaction to all the other ones while they were live on the phone.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God. He's like, you've given me like 17 incredible ones. Thinking.
See, he should have got that reaction live.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know?
Yeah, well, so now he... Because he was talking about, he did a great talk about his mistakes. So his biggest mistake was not being live.
He had
live,
to follow up when it was good news.
Not
after
being
all.
Live with mm-hmm. a client, and then also saying, even if it's just an email, enjoy this multi-page PDF with all the options.
Yeah.
Tell me what you like,
or even mention 17, so that they know not to miss any.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I thought that was a really smart idea because he was saying it's all about the device now. Some people. Let's grant you're going to look review a PDF on your phone
that
through
kills
your Mac,
me.
Yeah,
or through your mail app, right?
And
I have to do the same thing and remind people if I have got as a part of a prototype 4 screens to a single Envision link. Make sure to scroll through the 4 screens that are here.
Yeah,
because people sometimes don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually almost every error or every like bump in the road we've realized like, oh, that was a miscommunication. Like, how can we better explain that?
When you're busy, that happens.
Yeah. And it's like our job to educate them. You know, like they don't, this is their,
no,
probably the first time they've done this process.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say that's one of the biggest parts of the job of a freelancer is to really make them understand what it is we're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome.
So do you want to take the last?
Sure.
Yeah.
So you've done such a great look at the world of freelance, right? And you're getting great feedback, which I think is awesome. I'm seeing like everybody who gets your book.
I love seeing the hashtag.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
I'm just checking it every day. Like,
and also, you guys donated 5 copies to like our little AIGA meetup a few weeks ago, and the kids love it. They're like eating it up. So with that, and you've done this, you're probably a good person to ask, like, what's the future of this? Do you feel like it's a really positive thing to be a independent designer at this point? And what do you see happening in the next few years for us?
I think our next step is like, we're constantly trying to move less and less or do less and less of the client work side. Mm-hmm. Like, we still want to do client work, but we want to have the freedom to start making, like you were saying, passive income, and also just have that more diversified income. So it just makes it easier to...
Isn't that all of our goals?
Yeah, and
I
it makes
know.
It...
it's just... Forget it.
Oh my
Absolutely.
Gosh. I've been doing this for 10 years now, which is crazy, and already I'm feeling emotionally drained. You know, like, the work of doing branding specifically is just so... there's so much emotion that goes into it. And so I think we're making a lot more fonts. I've got one already out. I just released it in... correlation with Creative Works Conference.
Oh, the Beale
font, inspired by Memphis.
Loved it.
Yeah, amazing. And I'm releasing one called Beverly Drive in a month, probably within the next
Fun.
Month. Yeah, and it's inspired by Beverly Hills.
It's so tedious. How's it going?
It's honestly not that bad. So it really isn't. And you guys, if you're interested at all in font development, look up Glyphs app.
That's the one I've
it's
been hearing
amazing.
About.
It's amazing. Okay. If you're used to Adobe Illustrator, it's very intuitive. And like, I swear, like, I'm not getting paid to say this, but I will like just tell everybody about Glyphs app. I love it so much.
Nice.
And their support is amazing. If you have a question, they'll answer you within the day.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Their documentation is insane. Like, it's so helpful.
Is it subscription based or is it like a
you
one
just
time?
Buy it one time.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's great.
Okay.
And then next thing is I've already gotten our book into a few classrooms as curriculum.
Oh, awesome.
And so that's my main
Wow.
goal, is to get it to be a textbook for professional practices classes, because I think that's the biggest thing is, like, I'm sure a lot of teachers are willing to teach the class. They just don't even know, like, they don't have the toolkit to, like, get a lesson
plan. A go-to prior.
Yeah, because, like, who has time to put together a lesson plan? Not everybody. But if you could offer...
You do, apparently.
We do.
I know.
Right, but, like, so many schools don't offer this class, because I'm sure somebody isn't taking the time to do that.
Yeah.
So, like...
Right.
Approaching art schools and being like, hey, this is a key class, wouldn't you agree? Yes. If you have anybody who's interested in teaching this class, I have the curriculum, you can purchase it, and we can get textbooks for everybody. It's really short, it's really to the point.
You can even do like a summer workshop with it, because
with
it's
the teachers,
like, or even the class itself.
Well, we've been doing
right?
workshops.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that has been another really cool revenue source that I just didn't even expect. I was like, oh, it won't be that great. No one will be interested. And it's been like the exact opposite. So
killer.
Yeah. It's
amazing.
Been cool. So
there's gotta be some kind of a revolution with teaching doing all the freelance, the business side.
Absolutely. You know? And I see so many more people doing it. It's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
It's so much of the design, but the business is where the road meets the road, yeah. for sure.
You don't know you need it until you're right there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, money's not everything, but it helps.
True.
So what are you hoping to see here today
at Max?
Yeah.
Mostly just all my friends. I get so overwhelmed at conferences like this, especially where it's like 10,000 people.
Well, you were smart doing the one day.
All right, guys, got to break in here to let you all know about FreshBooks. I would be doing you all a disservice if I didn't tell you about it. So basically, FreshBooks, we have all been using it for several years now, and for very good reason. We love the way they make invoicing easy on us. We're designers. We're not accountants. The last thing we want to do is be hand creating invoices from scratch every time. I don't know what you do. Maybe you do PayPal. Maybe you grab a Google Doc that's kind of meant to look like an invoice and you put in the details each time. Who has time for that? I don't. That's what I used to do. I'm so glad that I do FreshBooks now. Basically, you put in your brand colors, you put in your logo, and you just add clients as you get them. And then you send the invoices out to your clients for every payment. They do the follow-up, so if they don't pay it on time, they will send that reminder email, a friendly reminder that obviously is coming from the system and not coming directly from you. So you get to save face with your clients and not act like you're just out there to get your money. Your clients will love you for it and you'll get paid faster, which is what we love as designers. To claim your 30-day unrestricted free trial, go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the how did you hear about us section. Once again, 30 free day unrestricted trial. Go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter deeply graphic design in the how did you hear about us section. All right, on with the show.
You know, keeping up with tradition, we always have a listener question on the
yes.
show, and today's
Fun.
No different.
Okay. Awesome.
Just because we're live doesn't mean we're not going to answer a question, right? So we try to have a live listener question, but I don't think we have anyone, right?
No. We're,
okay.
Go for it.
So I'm going to go through the mailbag, and we have one from Nadia Cruz.
Ooh.
And Nadia says...
I can see her logo already.
I know. Very scripty, I'm sure. She's got it's a long question, but I'm going to truncate it. Should I charge more to a client if I provide the original documents in Illustrator or Photoshop?
Oh, the native files?
Yes.
I think it depends. Like, if you're... I mean, obviously, I think most of the time you're going to have to provide... I guess you would provide it with outlined fonts and everything so they can't edit it too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for printing purposes, like, I guess you could do a locked PDF, but even so, sometimes the printers have to go in and, like, fix things. But for logos, you always have to deliver that kind of thing.
100%.
So that's kind of included in the price. But for things like illustrations or things like that, you can protect yourself with doing limited liability. Limited liability. I just bought insurance.
Yeah.
Can you tell? I just bought errors and omissions insurance. Anyway, limited license.
Yeah.
You can protect yourself that way. And then, of course, you'll have to deliver a PDF that maybe they can hack into. I used to have to do that when I was at a print shop.
Got it.
But yeah, I think it's if you're going to give them the ability to like edit and use this like further ongoing, definitely charge more.
I think more important, you're right. Tell them up front that you're going to give that to them and make sure it's listed in the estimate some way to show that you got to get paid for that.
Right.
Especially like if it's packaging and anything else, of course they're going to get it because they need
they have
those
to have those files. Yeah. The problem is that I've not worked on hardly anything besides things that it's just expected. It's just standard practice where they get native files.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. But if you're talking about, I have a lot of clients who are like, oh, and I'll take these other two just for t-shirts later when we're talking about concepts. I'm like, oh no, you have to pay for those two separate. You hired me to design one logo. If you want to get two more concepts, that's going to be additional cost.
Yeah.
Got it.
Good point.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a part of the mock-up phase for logo application as a part of your brand identity package.
Or if it was like, say I presented them three logos and we only agreed to finalize one, but they want to keep the other two files. I charge them extra for that.
Yes.
Because our scope was just the one.
The one.
And then they can use the other ones to make t-shirts and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to charge them for that.
Yeah.
So.
You know what? It's no different than a photographer that you work with that sends you all the digital high-res.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's exactly.
You're right.
That's to use
point.
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
Because
I just, it's such a natural that my files are provided to them to give to either their vendor or their printer or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I just make sure you are saying it at the beginning. I think that's
just clarify with them.
Because I think we had a listener question which she didn't list it and then they asked for them and she felt like,
And that shocked reaction sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And then you always are like, these are mine. What are you going to do? You don't even own a Mac.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, I love dealing with my clients in long term, but what I do hate is those little requests that come in, like, oh, I need this in, like, you know, a very specific dimension.
It's like they sandwich it in there. Yeah. It's like they sneak it in there, although they don't know they're being manipulative about it, truly.
Well, I'm not even saying manipulative. I'm just saying later down the road, like, you just get all these little email requests.
I agree.
I have a little handbook that's like, I write those things down because it becomes part, it goes into their monthly bill.
Yeah, good thing.
Because all those little 15-minute things might add up to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they know my hourly, so...
Have you ever had it been the case where you present the three magic concepts initially, they fall in love with two, let's say, and so do they say, you've already whipped it up together, can we pay you for these two as a part of your initial estimate number? You already did the work, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we charge them additionally. Yeah, because we only agreed that that was
outside of the estimate that you had initially provided them with.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. Because they only agreed. Clarifying. Oh no, it's cool. Because they only agreed for one logo. That's all they agreed to. Mm-hmm. So if they want two other things that they're going to sell as illustrations or T-shirts or whatever, that's worth something to them, and it's worth something to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's good clarification.
Yeah. Killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, should we end it with give them where they can find you and everything? Yeah. Some URLs.
You find you online.
Okay, so you can find us mainly at chutzpahdesign.com, and we're at chutzpahdesign on Instagram, Twitter, everything. And then you can find Odds and Sods products at Odds and Sods Co. Perfect. Is the handle, and then www.oddsandsods.co.
You got it down.
All right, sounds great, Amy. So good to have you on the show.
Thanks so much.
And we do want to give an extra shout out to the fine folks here at Adobe Max for letting us broadcast in this
Julie and the team
trailer.
You guys were fantastic. This is like such a blast.
We hope to do it again next year. And keep sending in those listener questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com. And you know we love our audio questions. And on Twitter, using #DGDC, we do monitor that hashtag. So send in all you got, and we'll take what you got.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And with that in mind, keep designing. Catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Designcast.